I'd like if you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. As Paul concludes his letter to the Corinthians, the last time we had read, he was encouraging them to be generous in the collection to Jerusalem. And now he is giving them just his last words before the letter closes. And I'll start with verse 5, and we're going to read through verse 14. For now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. So he is planning on being with them. He's kind of close now, but he doesn't want to stop there now because it's going to be too short. He wants to finish off what he wants to do. He wants to go back and spend winter with them there. And then clearly at the end of verse 7 where it says, if the Lord permit, I think this is a key mindset of Paul. It's not, we all have our plans. We are all have what we want to do and what we're planning to do. But very plainly, Paul is mindful that the Lord might have some different plans for him. And in our lives, I think we need to do the same. Be mindful that even though we plan, the Lord might change some things for us. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me. So he's going on to say that he's going to be staying where he's in Ephesus until Pentecost, because there's a great door open for him. And there are many adversaries. That's an interesting thought, right? You know, I can see if you're, oh, I'm going to tarry here in Hawaii. You know, it's just great weather here, right? I'm going to tarry here with my family. We're just having a great time. No, he makes it clear that he's tarrying there. He has great opportunities, and there are many adversaries. And he's almost excited about this. And that's where Paul was. It seemed that wherever Paul went, he went to where the action was. He went to where there, I don't know if there was commotion because of him, or he went there because of the commotion. But indeed, when Paul was in the city, you knew that Paul was in the city, even before he converted to be a Christian. If you remember when he was persecuting the Christians, when Paul was coming, you knew Paul was coming. But now, the adversaries are not Christians, but indeed, the powers of darkness. He goes on to say, now, Timotheus come unto you. Come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. So he's not saying that Timotheus works for me. He's saying, no, Timotheus does the work of the Lord. Please receive him. You know, don't, you know, obviously he's a little timid. He's a younger brother. Receive him openly. And if you were just remember in general, the Corinthians, as we've been going through it, they're a tough crowd. There's a lot of heavy stuff going on in Corinth, and he's saying, go easy on Timothy, because he's coming and he's working for the Lord. Let no man despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. Then he goes on and saying, as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired unto him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have a convenient time. And if you remember with Apollos earlier, we read that some were for Apollos, some were for Paul. There was schisms and factions in the Corinthian church. And that didn't mean that there was a schism and a faction between Paul and Apollos. Here Paul and Apollos are talking. They're probably talking and visiting with each other and thinking, how can they help the Corinthian church? And Paul might have even shared with them, you know, here's the letter I wrote. They didn't receive it too well. You know, what do you think? You know, could you go? This is conjecture, but it's plain at this time, Apollos did not feel that it was right to go. But it's good to know that Paul is not the boss of Apollos. Apollos is not the boss of Paul. Both are doing the work of the Lord, and there's communication with them, and I'm sure prayers for the churches at Corinth and elsewhere. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Well, this is a famous verse, right? Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. It's almost like orders, right? And then the very next verse, let all your things be done with charity. Ooh, it's kind of a contrast there. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let everything be done with love. So let's just take that first, watch ye. What does that mean? I know that any time I come up to an intersection, whether I'm driving or on a bike or on a, walking, when I come up to the intersection, I'm watching. Why? There's danger there. Because there's a crossroads, right? And I know that my adversary is the unattentive driver. And so as I'm going to cross, even if the light is green and the walk sign is there, I'm looking at their eyes. Do they see me? Or are they looking the other way? Or are they looking right through me? Right? I'm watching. Another time, a little different type of watching. So that's the person that can cause harm, but they're not really meaning to cause harm. Then, I think we've all been to the beach and we've had lunch there at the beach. And the seagulls. You know about the seagulls? They're devilish. They are trying to figure out how to get that sandwich or that chip. Now, really, they're not devilish. They're not that smart. But you got to watch them. You got to pay attention. And so as I was thinking of these type of watchings, we kind of know about that, right? We kind of know that, yes, there are people that maybe inadvertently can do us harm. And we got to be careful for that. We know that there are the seagulls out there and people that are really trying to figure out a way to harm us. Okay, these are physical things. And then recently, there's just been a huge increase in that ransom software. That ransomware, I think you've heard of it, right? Where a hacker will gain access to your company or to your home. And they're not physically there. They're electronically there. And then what do they want to do? They want to steal your files, right? Because whether it's your pictures or your business data, it's not important to them, but they know it's important to you. So one of their tricks is that they come in 1 week and they go looking around the house, looking around the business, looking at all the files. And then without really doing any damage yet, they spend another week or two. And as you make backups and take care of things to make sure that you're protected, they're seeing where you back things up, and they're gaining access to those backups. And they've even implanted little time bombs inside those backups. So when the time comes and it's time to shut you down, they maybe start on a Friday evening, and their computer goes to work at, the whole weekend, and you come in the morning and you're locked up. Everything's held hostage. Then you go to your backups and it's held hostage, right? We're talking evil as people are evil, can be evil. And they're just looking to make a quick buck, but they're looking to cause as much pain to you as possible so that you'd be willing to pay them as much as possible. And so as we think about this watching, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. When we were this morning with Brother David, when he was talking about King Belshazzar, Belteshazzar is Daniel, Belshazzar, God had put him in control, right? But he wasn't a godly man. But we know that every ruler is either up there or down because of God's will. And the prince of the power of the air, the one who is in charge of this world that we're in right now, is Satan. And that's what we're fighting against. So as we're watching, We need to be careful. Yes, we need to be careful of those overt challenges to our Christian walk, right? Those overt challenges, maybe this temptation to steal, right? Or maybe you get a temptation to watch some media sources that are not godly, right? These are overt. And then there are the seagulls, right? There's the other type that are, they're kind of lurking, these other challenges, looking to cause you to sin, looking to make a buck off you somehow by your weaknesses. And we need to be watching for that too. Because no sin is so insipid that you let it in and you don't even know it's a sin, right? And that's maybe more like the ransomware than the seagulls, where, you know, this is not really sin on the outside, but in reality, it is sin that, because we've maybe watched this movie and we've seen, oh, a worldview and adopted a worldview that was portrayed to us by Hollywood that seemed so innocent, but now a year later, 2 years later, we kind of adopt it as our own. And these little types of sins, we need to watch for those in our lives. We need to beware of the evil that creeps in unobserved. So that's watch. Keep awake. Keep your eyes open. Watch. Pay attention. Stand fast. So if we're not watchful, we're probably not going to stand fast. And when you think of that word stand fast, there's kind of two things. Number one, it's your feet, right? You're standing firm on your feet. Now you might be, when you're young, right? Maybe when you're old even, sometimes there's a curb and you're walking on the sidewalk, but I'm going to walk right along that curb. And I'm going to try to balance on that curb, or maybe it's a low wall. And the littlest push, and you're going to lose your balance. You'll be off in the street. You'll be off the wall, right? So standing fast is one thing, but what are you standing on? Are you standing on something firm? And then when we translate this into God's word, the spiritual realm, are we standing? We got to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, it says. We have our feet shod, but now are we standing on truth? Are we standing on a firm foothold? When you're going rock climbing and you're looking to get up and conquer that hill, you're looking for ledges, not just ledges, but ledges that are trustworthy. And as we read our scripture and I memorize our scripture and ponder upon God's word, is this thought or belief that I have, is it trustworthy? Is it solid? Or is it kind of a weak ledge? And I'm going to stay away from that, right? So watch ye, stand fast, quit ye like men. That's a great way to say it, right? Quit ye like men. Be the man. Play the man's part. Use all your force in battle. So back in 2010, there was a Gurkha from the Nepalese army actually working with Britain, tradition since the 1800s. But he was in Afghanistan at a post. And he was alone. He was at a lone post in Afghanistan, remote, and he was alone. And there was some commotion going on. And he saw that some insurgents, some Taliban, was trying to plant a roadside bomb. And as he looked more closely, he saw that he was surrounded. He was surrounded by Taliban. And it was him alone. And they attacked. And so here is this little man. Now, the Gurkhas, I don't know if you know their tradition, but they are known and feared in the world as elite fighting soldiers for hundreds and hundreds of years, right? One of the generals said, if you hear a man say that he's not afraid to die, he's either a liar or a Gurkha, right? And so here's this lone man. He sees that he's surrounded. He thinks he's, to his mind, he's going to die, but he's going to fight. So he pulls the machine gun off the tripod, and he's firing until all the rounds are gone. And then he has, you know, what else is at his disposal? And he has some grenades, some And he throws the grenades out. And then what else does he have at his disposal? And he uses a service rifle. And then what else does he have? He has a landmine. What do you do with the landmine? He throws that out at him until help arrived. And at the end of the day, he survived, and there were 30 Taliban dead. Now, I say this, this is not the fight that we fight. We are fighting spiritual battles. And so as we look in our mind, what are the weapons that are at our disposal? We are not to be fighting and killing and trying to maim. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand the wiles, those sneaky tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So how are we armed? Stand therefore, once again standing, having your loins girded about with truth. So are we prepared? Do we have truth? Are we always speaking truth? The breastplate of righteousness. Are we being that reflection of God? Are we righteous? Are your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? So are we preaching a gospel of peace? And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord. So this is our method of attack, if you would. It's the word of the Lord, right? Our only offensive weapon. So stand fast, quit ye like men, be strong. Be strong. Also can be thought as become strong. Because the truth of the matter is we're weak. And as I was thinking about that becoming strong, you can say to somebody, you know, be strong, right? The boys have been doing pull-ups in the backyard. And, you think of a strong man and maybe he can do 100 one-arm pull-ups. Wow, that's strong, right? Well, how do you do 100 one-arm pull-ups, right? Well, you start with one regular pull-up and you work at it and you work at it. There's a similar concept in just the making of bronze statues, right? How do you carve and mold bronze? Well, what you do is you carve and mold wax. And then once you have the wax exactly what you want because it's soft, you put a cast around it. And then you melt the wax out and you pour in the bronze, right? And that's last, there are bronze sculptures that have been around for 4,000 years. They're enduring, right? So when it says be strong, it's like become strong. Stand fast. Watch ye. Stand fast. Quit ye like men. Become strong. And then his final words in verse 14 here. Let all your things be done in charity. So this is the key. He's talking to a soldier, but then he makes it plain to the Corinthians who are factious people. Fractious people, faction, breaking off in their factions. They don't show love. He's been talking to them for 16 chapters after it's been divided all up about how their hearts need to be towards one another. Not ones that are fighting against one another. No army stands when it fights against itself. Let all your things be done in charity. A lot of times we think, well, I love God. Or maybe even think I love man. But really, those are inseparable. If you love God, then you love the men he created, the souls. You might not like what they're doing, but their souls are important. Love is the victor. In all of Christian warfare, this spiritual warfare that we're fighting, the more we love God, the less we're going to be tempted with evil, and the less that power of temptation will be over us. Let all things be done in charity. May God bless his word.